Hi folks, I'm Roger, and this is...
Hi Victoria, nice to meet you all. We didn't know who was going to come, so it's a really beautiful surprise to stand
at
the door and...
It's great to see you.
...see all these faces. It's exciting. Do you want a hand? Oh, bless you. There you go.
Just want to assure you, this is not going to be a lecture.
No.
I don't believe that you can do prayer in that way. Prayer is an engagement with the living God. So that's our heart to share with you. If we could just maybe share with you a few practical things first. That we, on the Elim Prayer stand in the exhibition area, there are a number of really good resources which we've had and this have made and prepared. One of those is Awakening Prayer as a prayer guide that Victoria and I have written and is made available for free. And we have got 50 copies here. You're welcome to take one towards the end. And you'll find the material that we're going through today, a lot of it will be in here. And we hope it's...
Hopefully some of it won't, because we want the Holy Spirit to show up, don't we? So, sorry, Roger.
No, that's fine. We've never done this before together, so it's going to be quite an interesting interaction. But let it be fun in the presence of God. God smiles, God laughs. God's presence is here, isn't he? With
keep
us already.
It real.
Down on the bookstall also, there's prayer journals, which we've had proper printed in it. You can acquire those at a small cost. And they're downstairs on the bookstore, also available for free. There are some little credit card-sized prayer cards with prayer prompts, four different ones for different prompted areas. They're all free. Go down and find some of those. There's a Reflective Awakening in Prayer. That's also a free takeaway. And these might be resources that you can take to your churches too. We've also got... prayer cards in the orange. Is that orange or is that red? Red, I think. And praise on the orange one. And we've had lots of people come and put prayer needs on. And the Elim prayer team, of which there's about 10 or a dozen of us this year, we're praying through those cards. We've already had some amazing testimonies come to us of people being healed and people being touched by the power of God in significant ways. So we're thrilled to bits with that. And our stand downstairs, we wanted it this year to be a place where we pray, rather than it just be talking about prayer, presenting about prayer, but where we pray. So those are some of the resources. Please avail yourselves of them. And there will be some other resources that we mention as we go. So let's just... pray, shall we?
Oh, well, yeah, that's good. Let's do that. Shall we pray?
Do you want to kick off?
I'll do it.
Yeah, go on.
How about we all do it together? Who's up for, if you feel comfortable, maybe
close
your eyes, open your hands in front of you, just posture yourself and just picture yourself. You're not in a room with two crazy people at the front. You're now sitting before Jesus. And that's who you came to meet today, wasn't it? You want to come and spend time with Papa God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. So we just say, Papa, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we're here for you. Oh, Lord. We know that you're present.
Yeah.
We know that your face is shining upon us right now.
Mm.
I pray, Lord
Thank
Jesus,
you, Lord.
Would you do a work in our hearts to position ourselves before you so that we can be attentive to your presence, that we can be so acutely aware of your breath on our skin as we gather for this sacred hour,
Thank you,
Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And Holy Spirit, we say right now, we may have notes, we may have brought ideas with us, but we ask you to speak, Holy Spirit. We ask you to lead this time together,
yes.
And we say, come, come.
Thank you, Lord.
Maybe just say that if you can, if you feel comfortable, if you feel courageous enough, if you feel bold enough, let's invite the Holy Spirit to come
Thank you, Lord.
And minister
Spirit, come
to your heart right
your
now.
Way, Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Awaken thank something you, Lord. In us today that is new, Lord, we pray.
Thank you, Lord. Wake my soul. Come on, call out on the Lord. I've just found myself just waving my hand, and it was just a sense. It was just a spontaneous thing, just waving, because the Lord is near. The Lord is here. He's at work in you. So you've brought the Lord. The Lord is in you to will and to do of his good purpose. He is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What we're doing right now is just, we're not going to just talk about prayer, but it's actually enacting prayer. It's actually activating prayer. Awake my soul. Why don't you speak to your soul right now? Awake my soul. Set aside all the thoughts. The soul includes the mind, the emotions, things, stuff that you're facing back in your homes and the situations, family, churches, in the communities, whatever's going on there, just speak to your soul. Speak to your soul. The scriptures talk about singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, encouraging one another. Jesus, we love you. Come on, speak the name of Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus. The great I am. The names of Jesus, declare them. This is prayer. This is awakening prayer. Awake my soul and sing. Sing his praise aloud. Awake my soul. I know this is the after lunch session, but awake my soul. Thank you, Jesus. God, will you just awaken us today? Lord, we thank you that you're moving already in our summit. There are some really key things that you've spoken to us, you've challenged us about, you've opened up to us, Lord, and you will continue to do so. So that when we go back to our places where we live and to our churches, Lord, we will be shining a light, a brighter light, because we've had an encounter with the living God through Jesus Christ, his Son, who's at work in us. Oh God, will you do a work? Awake my soul. Speak to your soul. A scripture which is really dear to me, 2 Corinthians 10. Take captive the thoughts. Bring them into subjection to Jesus Christ. Because those things are not set up against you or you alone, but against God that's at work in you. The enemy wants to hinder us, to pull us back, to discourage us. But Christ in you is the hope of glory. You have the living God at work in your life. This is awakening prayer. What we're doing right now is awakening prayer. Stir your heart. Stir up the gift that's within you. Stir up the... God, release a fresh, a new anointing. Awaken our souls afresh. Awaken our minds. Renew our minds. Transform our minds. Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Lord, will you renew my mind? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
There's seats down the front if you really want to get holy. There you go. There's the challenge. You're going to have to come. Let's get holy. Let's get holy. Bless you.
Hallelujah. So that you can help, we can help you to engage with us and our hearts. We're not here just to talk to you, but we want to encourage you today. I was saved when I was 7 years of age. It was a real experience. And I got into music in a big way, very musical kind of family and background. During my teenage years and early 20s, it became my God. So I drifted away from the Lord. So that was the focus. So early 20s came along, and I was failing. I was distracted in loads of different things. But God gave me the opportunity to search the scriptures. And I found in John 15, and I realized when it talks about having fruit and fruit that remains, I realized I wasn't bearing any fruit. I was actually living as a hypocrite. But then God got hold of me. I repented. and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And things changed dramatically. And within a year, this is in 1970, the days of yore, years ago. Something really happened. Within the first year, I had a call. God gave me a call to prayer, to intercession. And the other thing that happened was that music stuff, God caused me to pick up the guitar and learn to play the guitar. So I ended up worshiping. So I became a worship leader. So there was prayer and there was worship leading. And then within the next couple of years, somebody called me, who was a prophet, called me to Canning Town in East London, where we ended up staying for nearly 40 years until we retired. What is retirement? We'll talk about that at some point. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. He was a prophet, and I was mentored for 20 years in prophetic ministry, prophetic counseling, healing, deliverance stuff. And so I've found, and this is part of my testimony to engage with awakening prayer, is that there are intrinsically linked are prayer, worship, and prophecy in the prophetic realm. And that's a key. And I think engaging in prayer, awakening prayer, I've discovered with a key of the work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and not just once, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's so important. In your work, in your journey, those things become not something that you just do, but become a lifestyle. So that's part of my story. Victoria, your story?
He's good, isn't he? He's such a blessing to me, honestly. Roger's become a bit of a spiritual dad to me. My name's Victoria, I've already said that, but you know that. So I didn't become a Christian till I turned 30. And so I grew up very much in a quite chaotic environment. My mum was an alcoholic. There was lots of stuff that wasn't healthy in our environment. I probably experienced quite a lot of trauma. I didn't understand that then. I understand that now. And the knock-on effects of a life like that. And it has effects on the decisions you make yourself, don't you, as a young adult and stuff like that. So then when I became a mum at 23, married to a really not nice person, I did find the strength to leave, and I moved to a sunny seaside village town called Thanet, and it was there a few years after moving there that I discovered Jesus. And it was because a friend of mine dragged me to church, and at the time I was full on goth, black hair, black ties, yeah, all the clothes and everything. I wanted them to be scared of me, I think. And all they did was smile at me and was kind to me. And I was like, what's their agenda? I had no sense of trust at all. But then this band at the front of the church started playing, and I was just captivated, really. And you know what it is about worship? It doesn't connect here, it connects here. And I think God is really sweet and really clever, the way he creates formulas, if you like, ways of engaging with his creation, even the most hurt, the most broken. And so every Sunday I'd go back to this church of these people I didn't trust, because I loved this thing that they did, and they kept singing and it made me feel different. And I'd see pictures and I'd hear God speak to me. And over a period of time, he set me free from lots of things, and he continues to set me free. It's a long journey, isn't it? I think that whole idea that sanctification is a lifelong journey is so true. And he's ignited my heart. And I think the most beautiful thing is I do really believe that God is in the restoration business. And I think that he does leave the 99 for the one. And I believe that I was the one in that season and in that time. And he's just been so faithful. And so my posture, my response to that is to give my whole life to him. And that's been the journey. And so 20 years a Christian I've been, and I am now a minister. I got ordained a couple of years ago. I lead a church plant where I live, and I work as a chaplain in a hospice. And the whole thing feels like God wastes nothing. So right where you're at now, just have a moment and think, what's my life experience been? The good, the bad, and the ugly, the struggles, the challenges. What have I got in my hands? And some of those pieces might feel fractured, some of them might feel shattered and broken. But those pieces of your life, your experiences, whether that was because of your choices or someone else's, they're precious in his sight. And when you hold your hand out to Jesus with all that you have in offering, I promise you, completely, he will make something beautiful out of that. So there's nothing that you are going through, even now, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that God can't turn around for good. And all we have to do, and it sounds really flippant, and it really isn't, it's the hardest, most challenging, bravest thing you'll ever do, is give your all to Jesus. Everything. And you might think, what's this got to do with prayer? This is prayer. When we awake to the reality that prayer isn't something we do, it's something we are, it's a response, it's a heart connection with the one who loved us first, yeah. That is what we're talking about now. So you might be feeling, but I'm really angry about this thing. Give that to Jesus. That's a prayer. You can read all about that in the Psalms. You might be feeling, I feel so desperate, so alone, so ignored. Give that to Jesus. Because I can guarantee you, he'll change how you feel. It might take some time. And then he'll position you alongside someone else who feels exactly the same. And you won't have to have sympathy for them, because you can have empathy. Because you know. I love Jesus with everything that I am. And that's my prayer. Jesus, I love you. Awaken everything in me to be your hands and your feet and your witness in this world that we live now. That's my prayer.
Yeah. There's some of the stuff that was shared this morning in the main room in the auditorium. Talked about the crises and the challenges, the things that happen that you don't want to happen and you don't want to go through. But actually, in God's economy, God turns those things around. He uses what the enemy means to pull us down. He turns it around and makes it for good if we'll respond to him, if we recognize him. If we do, and we have soft hearts, hearts which are like the clay, soft clay in the potter's hands, he will mold us into a vessel of honor in which he can then pour out his living water, his life, and then that vessel can be used to be poured out to minister to others and into communities. And so nothing is ever wasted as far as God is concerned. I don't know, as Pentecostals, we feel sometimes, I'll just put it like that, that loudness and noise, loud praying, long praying, equals power, equals the hand of God, equals the anointing. I'm sorry. I've discovered it's sometimes the opposite. And I just want to just share something with you from a story which will be well known to you. Elijah, who'd been on, God spoke to him and he challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. You'll remember that story very well. And of course, we don't have time to go through all of that story, but there's some really key things in there. But the prophets of Baal were vanquished, were destroyed, were wiped out. And Ahab and Jezebel got to hear about it. And when the news came to Elijah that they were after him, he got afraid. Even Elijah, the prophet Elijah, was afraid and ran and hid and so on. And it comes to 1 Kings 19 in verse 11. It said, the Lord said, go out. And he was hiding away. But he said, the Lord said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. You remember this story. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And this is a key thing for us today. As we kind of reflect a little bit, I want to encourage you to reflect on prayer life, on prayer, what it means, what it is. It's lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Sometimes we are full of noise. Our world is full of noise. Even in church life, there's just stuff. And we need to be so careful not just to be focusing on one area of ministry, but we need to be sensitive. And this is what it says in verse 13. When Elijah heard this whisper, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
Oh, that's really good. I think off the back of that, why don't we just take a moment and maybe someone next to you, ask yourself that question, what are you doing here now, today? Share with the person next to you or the person behind you. Why did you come to this seminar today? What are you doing here?
Yeah. I'm just going to read, I'm not going to sing it out, but I'm just going to read the verses of the scripture. I'm just... And then we'll do it with Jesus. We'll take it from there, yeah? If you feel that's right. Okay, we only have an hour in total, so...
Hold on to that. Hold on to what it is.
Yeah.
If we can gather your attention, it's really great that you're making new friends. I love it. But if we can gather your attention, hold on to what it was that you shared in that moment. Hold on to the reason you came here today. And if you write it down in your book or whatever, but hold on to that and then come back to that thought afterwards.
Yeah. Roger. Are you hungry for more of God? I don't know. I am. I'm getting older and older, but I'm still hungry. And the hunger hasn't ever gone away. Are you thirsty for more of the Lord? And I think this is key. It's a key in a prayer life. How desperate are you? We heard the story this morning. It's just, it all flows. God is on our case at the summit. There's a song that was written some time ago, "Awake My Soul and Sing." And it says this in the verses, "There is a sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Saviour's robe as he walks into the room where people pray. Where we hear praises, he hears faith. There's a sound I love to hear, the sound of the Saviour's robe as he walks into the room." And then it goes on in the chorus, "Awake, my soul, and sing." Sing his praise aloud. And sometimes the voice of the Lord comes in the still, small voice. You'll be familiar with the passage of Scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I'm sure. "If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." God doesn't just want to heal us physically, but he wants to heal our villages, towns, and cities. He wants to heal the communities, and he's chosen to use you and I to do that. An awakening prayer is part of the process, is part of what God has equipped us with to be able to do that. So, we're going to declare a simple phrase.
A simple phrase. Hey, Jesus. Do you know what's really interesting? Because we often use that Chronicles verse. Is it 1:7?
2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah. And I think I have a challenge in that, really, because I think we can look inward so much on ourselves. And actually, I think that's part of the Western culture that we live in, that everything is about me. And actually, when we listen to that scripture and we listen to that call from God to awaken ourselves to turn from the ways of this world and to lay down the things that are just burdening us and keep causing us to be heavy and disrupting everything about us, It's more than you and me on our own. That is a collective call. And it's a collective call which other nations understand much more than we do here. Because we make it all about us. Mm-hmm. And the point of a prayer is, yes, it starts with us, because it starts with us seeing ourselves. We have to be really aware of who we are. We have to understand. Did anyone go to the self-awareness seminar yesterday? Hands up. It was brilliant. So there was a self-awareness, and it talked a lot about understanding your personality, how you interact with other people in teams and stuff. This goes to another level when you start talking about prayer, because your self-awareness needs to understand your life experiences, the lenses that you see and respond from through. And we have to understand ourselves holistically, mind, body, spirit, so that we can then do the things that God calls us to do. So it starts with self-awareness, but it then becomes other-centered. So the more we lean into Jesus, the more we go, hey, Jesus, we don't have to bring more than that. We don't have to quote scriptures from the Bible. We don't have to be all elegant in our language as we're praying. We just have to turn up with our whole hearts and say, hey, Jesus, here I am. What's on your heart, Lord? And the more we seek his heart, the more he will break our heart for the things of this world, and the more we naturally become other-centered. It's not selfless, because you've got to look after yourself to pour out, but we become other-centered, and we start looking outside of ourselves, and we realize then the call to live holy lives isn't to be, oh, look at me, I'm a good girl, I'm holy. It's like, I am positioned to make a difference in this world that we live in. And there is a call and a fire in every head in this room waiting to land. And we allow our stuff and our circumstance and our inward vision to stop the Spirit pouring out on us in a way that brings change beyond our lives. I don't know where that all came from. Hopefully that was God. Anyway, next.
Some years ago, is this practical today, and how you exercise prayer? I just felt to share this with you as I've been prepping this. Years ago, in local authority, I was a senior manager, and I was responsible for overseeing a number of services with staff, and I had to negotiate with trade unions. And any of you might have had experiences of that will know that that's not one of the easiest of things to be able to do. But we did, and we were trying to get some productivity improvements, and we were really struggling to get some agreements. And so I prayed in my head. I prayed in the spirit in my head. And I felt a prompting to just get some time out with my fellow negotiators. And so we withdrew, and we spent 20 minutes, half an hour, talking about something which was, as I prayed, a creative idea dropped into my mind. And this is one of the things about prayer. It starts to open up areas of your life and creative areas that perhaps are untapped for a lot of you here today, and you need to allow God to actually and have the confidence to enter into some of those things. But this creative idea came to my mind. It was at the time, we're talking quite a long time ago, when mobile phones were fairly fresh and new and hot off the press. That probably dates me a bit, doesn't it? But I think a company, O2, or the previous equivalent, they had this thing where you buy a mobile phone and you have 3 minutes, evenings and weekends. So I went back into the room. I got the agreement with my colleagues. Went back into the room and I said, look, every one of the members of staff with this negotiation will get a mobile phone, and you can use evenings and weekends for free with no charge. But you must make yourself available on the phone to be reached by your managers, your supervisors, as part of this negotiation. It sold the deal. It sold the deal, that one thing. But that was a creative idea that came through prayer. And I just wanted to share that with you. So there's something about creativity in prayer. If you go down to the stand downstairs, you'll see a number of different resources which are available. One of those is actually there's a map of the UK, of all four nations of the UK. And somebody's put a coloured light behind, and you can punch through, and you might want to go and do this and find somebody. Your town, your village, your city, punch through, and you'll find, as you punch through with the piece of tool that they've got there, the light will come through. So what it's doing is shining a light on your town, on your village, on your city. That's a creative thing in prayer. And it's just one example. There are a few ideas that we want to take you through today. And I'm just going to go through. That's it. So there are five areas. We just want to chat to you about some of these. Will you just open your hands as it were before the Lord right now. I just feel that God wants to release creativity in prayer. Renew our minds, and just out of the tram lines, the silos of thinking that we have, that prayer needs to be done in a particular way. Are you okay with this? So prayer is much wider, much broader than we think it is. It's not just doesn't just have one pattern. Holy Spirit, will you come? And will you illuminate our hearts and our minds, the core of our being, and help us, Lord. We pray that you will release creativity in every person in the room here today. A fresh, a new creativity. Things like painting, drawing, walking out, looking at God's creation. And as you do these things, listen. This is the key, one of the keys today, the still small voice. Listen. It may be music in the background. It could be baking cakes. It could be creating things. It could be working in the garden. It could be loving family. It can be loving people around, serving in our communities, working and volunteering. All of those things are creative things, making yourself available. But Lord, here I am.
Yeah, sorry. Another way to posture that would be that, because I know sometimes we can shut off the idea of being creative if we're a little bit more left-brained. And so then we go, oh, but I'm just not creative. I'm logical. I'm all those other things. But what you are more than anything else is you're made in the image of God, the creator of the universe. And so therefore, the image of God is on your life, and it is naturally creative. So even with your words, God spoke the word world into being with words. So think about that, the power of your words. You can speak life, you can speak death. And I think one of the things to invite, if you feel brave enough, is to say, God, will you use my imagination to communicate with me? Will you paint pictures in my mind? Will you alert my physical senses to your presence? Smell, touch, hearing, seeing, even taste. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
Your name is like honey upon my lips. Mm. We were made, formed in the secret place in his image. And as we awaken our hearts and our minds to the possibility of that, all that stuff operating within our lives, despite our human limitations, despite the flaws of our personal walks, he can do immeasurably more than we can hope or imagine.
Yes.
So be brave. Be brave.
Thank you, Lord. Just work with me. Some of you will remember this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, that the things of earth will grow strangely dim In the light of his glory and grace. Just before we sing it through again, what stuff is crowding your mind and your heart and your thoughts? What anxieties, what fears are crowding you that somehow interrupts the relationship with God just to have prayer and chatting to Abba Father? Loving Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I'm struggling. There's issues. I'm feeling fearful. I'm feeling anxious. This is a conversation with Jesus. Prayer is, to me, I've discovered over the years, it's a conversation with the loving God that's redeemed me. He brought me out of all of that stuff, selfishness, introspection, self-thinking, self-will, all of those things. He brought me out of darkness, brought me into glorious light, and he set me on a path. And so on that path, I walk and I talk to Jesus. Jesus, I need your help. I'm always walking. I'm feeling emotional because and it is real for me. And that's prayer. Awakening prayer is Jesus is with you. He's alongside you. Sometimes he'll carry you through the things that you have. And so see prayer in that kind of light, really. And there's something about that in this whole idea that turning your eyes upon Jesus. It's a real foundational thing. You can, when you do it and you walk with Jesus and you talk to him, you hear his heartbeat and he changes your priorities. He'll reorientate you. You might be walking a particular way and you say, no, not that way. It's this is the way. Walk you in it. You have to be walking, by the way, in order for Jesus to guide you. You can't be guided by the Lord if you're static. If you're rooted to the spot, you've got to be walking.
Yeah, that's good.
For God to guide you and tell you, no, it's this way, not that way. And that's when the stillness is so important, because sometimes you'll miss the voice of Jesus. No, please don't go down that road. Don't go that way. Because that's the wide way that leads to destruction. I want you to go the narrow way that leads to life eternal. And I want you to take others with you along that way. Lead them. Lead them to a place of intimacy with me. Mm. And God wants to use all of us in that kind of way.
Mm. And it is really about intimacy. I think it's easy to turn up to something like this and expect to be given like the 3-point strategy of how to pray and see breakthrough in your towns and your lone lives. But actually, everything always begins with intimacy. I think the idea of prayer was created for us to be connected with the one who loves us most. And just even thinking about that. Jesus is the one who loves you most. And yet we don't always give him our priority. We don't always make him our priority. And sometimes we can go to Jesus with all of our needs and our anxieties. And we list our prayers, don't we? We come to him and we're like, oh God. And we might be really good at this. We might be like, come on, Lord, I want to see breakthrough. And we might be declaring what we want to see before we see it and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that's not right, because we're Pentecostals after all. You know, let's be real. But sometimes the biggest challenge is to come before him and just say, hey, Papa, how you doing? And I remember someone, I can't remember who it was, but he said, when I've got an hour to pray, I will worship 55 minutes and pray for 5. Because by the time I finish worshiping, everything that I was going to bring is already just there. I've left it there at his feet. Mm. And it's like, and then my heart is aligned to his heart. And then the 5 minutes I'm praying, I am praying his heart. And that's what intimacy does. Intimacy brings you in line with his heartbeat, like Roger said. And I think there's something in it. We listen and we do share what's on our hearts. But we also have to respond to the nudge. Yeah. Hands up if you, and be honest, right? No one can see it. This hasn't been videoed. So it's like anonymous confession. Hands up if you know God has nudged you and you have not responded. The ones that haven't put your hands up, you're amazing. We'll have to let you do the seminar next time. Let's be real. Yeah. We've all, hindsight, we go, oh, that was God, he was telling me. But in the moment, it's really hard to discern, isn't it? So we have to be ready to respond. And I love the scripture, we love because he first loved us. Yeah. And I've got a story about that. So when I had no Christian input my whole childhood. I went to a secular school. My parents didn't have faith. And yet at 8 years old, I would lay in my bed praying to a God I didn't know, praying that he'd stop my mum and dad fighting. And I'd fall asleep, and the next morning I'd wake up, and I don't know why, I'd feel guilty for not saying amen. But I did it. In hindsight, all these years later, I can look back and go, wow, God came. God answered my prayer. Did they stop fighting? No. But his presence enabled me to sleep despite the war that was happening downstairs. What's more precious? That he takes away their free will, or that his presence was enough for me? And that has never left me. And it took me another 22 years to turn my face to him properly. He loved me first before I loved him. And that's our posture for prayer. We don't have to make ourselves pray. We just turn our face towards the one who loves us most. And then we ask him what's on his heart.
Amen. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Anyone lost their joy and feeling and struggling to feel happy or joyful right now? I think there might be a number of people. There's a difference between the joy of the Lord and happiness. Happiness depends upon happenings, circumstances. The joy of the Lord is forever. It's there. It's in you by his Holy Spirit. The other key thing we want to share with you is that the importance, and we've already been hinting at it really, two-way relationship. Walking with Jesus, it's not just us talking to him, talking at him sometimes, if we're honest, but listening to what he is having to say. And it's important that we develop that healthy relationship with the Lord where, yes, it's okay to unburden and share the burdens of our hearts, but also not have your entire prayer time taken up with just offloading and then feeling good about it, as if you've passed all your burdens onto someone else, and then you walk away and carry on. Actually, then you stop and you listen. What are you trying to say to me? What do I need to learn through this, Lord? What are you teaching me? What scripture do you want me to look at which will bring truth to me? And the Holy Spirit will then have an opportunity, the truth, the written word, the logos, the Holy Spirit, the rhema of God, bringing that to life as we spend time with the Lord in that two-way relationship. I'm just reminded very quickly that of the disciples who met Jesus on the road after he'd risen. Do you remember the road to Emmaus and that story? And Jesus, when he was round the meal table at the end of that journey, he broke bread and their eyes were opened. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts warm? Didn't our hearts burn as we were walking along the road? And they were listening to Jesus. At that moment, there was a revelation that came. Why don't you ask the Lord right now, help me to walk with you, Lord. Help me to listen. God, this is not just talking at you. We want you with us just to develop a two-way relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's so important. Listening, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to our hearts, deepening our walk with the Lord. Recognizing his voice, responding to what he reveals to us, Jesus. And then being prepared to act upon it. Yes, Lord. So we're doers, not just hearers of the word. So growing closer and deeper will result in a deepening of prayer where you go a step further in prayer, which is intercession. Intercession, standing in the gap. So there's prayer, us talking to the Lord about the needs and stuff and our concerns, listening to what he's saying, but then there's a step further where you begin to take the burden that God gives to you for the lost, for your town, for your village, for the people who are hurting, the lost generation, and so on. So it's so important. So and then we need to respond.
I think that story about the disciples I find fascinating, because whilst they, on reflection, on like hindsight, they looked back and they were like, oh, something warmed inside of us, didn't our hearts burn? In the moment, they still didn't know who he was. They actually spent their time lamenting, moaning, and confused. Because he's walking with them and they're like, well, this isn't what we were expecting. And he got killed and now we don't know what to do. And then the intimate act of breaking bread together, their eyes were opened. Mary, when she went to the tomb and it was empty, she saw Jesus and she thought he was a gardener. The intimate act of Jesus calling her by her name opened her eyes and she saw him. What do we need? What sort of intimacy do we need for Jesus to open our eyes afresh? Because to be fair, if we're in this room, we've all been here for a little while. We've been on this journey. Sometimes we can just grow tired, can't we? Life gets in the way and unanswered prayer feels like a burden. What do we need? What act of intimacy do we need to step into to allow Jesus to open our eyes afresh? Just have a moment. Jesus, would you speak to us? Mm. Would you show us, Lord? Would you show us what mound of water we might need to put our foot into for you to part it? Will you show us, Lord, what things we need to lay down, whether that be unanswered prayer, injustices that have happened in our world. The burden of a broken body and the limitations it brings. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. We see you, Lord. And the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Thank
Turn
you,
your eyes upon Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We wasn't going to do this, but if somebody has a physical limitation in their body, could you raise your hand? Me too. If you want God to release you of that, can you keep your hand in the air? Because it's a choice, isn't it? I'm not saying it's as simple as that. But there's a point where we say, I've had enough now, Lord. Last night I had a migraine after the service. And I had a really bad night's sleep. This morning I felt so poorly. Had to watch the first talk online. And Roger's wife and Roger prayed for me. I felt so, so poorly. And everything in my heart just said, I've had enough of this now, Lord. I want to be healed. Now, if you see someone with their hand up in the air next to you or close to you, ask them first. But if they're comfortable, would you just put your hand on their shoulder or on somewhere appropriate? Mm. Ask them if they're happy to be touched first.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Just speak healing.
And we are just going to
speak.
We're just going to seek God to remove the limitations.
Yes, Lord. Not just the physical limitations.
If you do speak in the tongues, can you just maybe just spend a moment? Holy Spirit, come.
In Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit, come. Pour out your Spirit, we pray. Holy Spirit, will you take away the limitations that we live with in our bodies? Holy Spirit, will you set us free, not for our sake, but for your kingdom's purposes, Lord? Will you take away the things that bind us, the things that limit us, the things that frustrate us? Lord, would you put in place of that lifestyle that we've become so accustomed to, that battle that we're so used to, would you take it? And in place, would you put a fire desire in our hearts to do something new for you in your kingdom? Lord Jesus, we pray that you would pour out the spirit of intercession upon us all, Lord, because we know what burden feels like. We know what contention feels like. Would you turn these pieces, these broken pieces that we have in our hands, into something good for your kingdom?
Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
thank
come.
You, Jesus. Not just the physical either, Lord, just the mental, the emotional, the trauma, the issues, Lord, the wearing down that pain can have in the body. In Jesus' name, we just pray that the mind will be healed, the memory banks will be healed, the nervous system will be healed.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
And I just want to speak one last time around this to those that have experienced trauma. Mm. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. It's a vulnerable thing to share. Mm. But in your heart, you know if that the reality of long-lasting trauma can have a physical effect. It gets in the cells of your body. So I just want to speak this year ahead over each one of you, myself included.
Thank you, Lord.
This is going to be a year of release for you. Yes. That you are going to experience insight.
Yes, Lord.
And you're going to experience healing.
Yes, Lord.
That allows your body to breathe again.
Yes.
That allows tension, the way we hold ourselves in fight and flight, the way that we position ourselves in hypervigilance. This is going to be the year where that stuff falls away.
Hear our prayer, Lord. Restore, rebuild, renew.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, would you restore us to be who you created us to be in the first place?
Yes, Lord.
May we see that person in the mirror when we look.
Yes, Lord.
May we hear the voice of the Lord reminding us who we are in you.
Yes, Lord. And help us to remember, Lord, that we love, we give out, we love because you first loved us. 1 John 4:19 says that so clearly. And sometimes we do stuff because we're trying to earn acceptance, earn approval. And that can be linked to an orphan spirit. And there may be folks in the room here today that feel that they're always striving. And it's partly because they're seeking approval and acceptance. And what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today is just to respond to him and let him love you. And what you do, do it out of the love that's in you. And only do it to the level and to the measure that of the love that he pours out within you. Don't do it in the flesh. Don't go beyond. And don't do it to be so that the eyes of other people are on you for acceptance. Do it because Jesus loves you and he first loved you. You're doing it for him. Keep your eyes upon him. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth and around you, the circumstances, the people will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's the third area. The fourth area, which I just really felt that we needed just to spend a little bit of time in, is to talk about holiness.
Holiness. Can I butt in?
Unto the Lord.
Can I butt in?
Yeah, please.
Is that all right? Do you know, holiness isn't something that we do or attain. Mm. Holiness is when we reflect the one that we're closest to. I'm going to say it again. We can't attain holiness. We can't achieve it. All the best behaviour in the world will not make you holy. Standing face to face, as close as you can to Jesus, you'll reflect his holiness. Just think about that for a minute. Because sometimes we strive, especially if we've got an orphan spirit of some sort, especially if we've been rejected, if we've not feel loved, if we haven't had that security in our upbringing, we strive to prove ourselves. And we can do that really well by following all of the commandments and being good Christian people. But the power comes when we see ourselves and know ourselves, and yet we stand so close to the one who is holy, that all around us is reflection of him.
Yes. Amen.
The effect you'll have on other people is when they see him in you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 just helps us to reinforce that. And it says this: but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Our holiness is in the Lord. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So if you're walking closely in relationship with Jesus and that intimacy, and you're growing and walking and talking and open to the Lord, you will reflect God's holiness. He's in you.
Yeah.
So what he is holy is in you. You understand? And take that out into our world and make a difference. Be countercultural. There's a need for it in our world today. There's a need for the church to arise from its sleepiness and lack of awareness.
Mm.
There's a need for the church to be stirred up. Get out of the form of religion that denies the power and start to walk closely with Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Yeah.
King of kings, Lord of lords. Developing, awakening prayer is developing that intimacy with the Lord.
Mm.
Nothing more, nothing less. It's walking with Jesus. And by the Holy Spirit, he is within you to work in and through you.
Yeah.
In his strength, not in our own strength.
The beautiful thing about intimacy, it doesn't just bring like a training on how to be good Christian soldiers. It brings transformation. So when we then become the witness in the world we live, it's not because we've learned how to be a good Christian soldier. It's because we've surrendered all that we are, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the hidden, to the one who loves us most. And the one who loves us most, remember we said at the beginning, is in the restoration business. So he will start to heal your heart, renew your mind, set your feet on a solid rock. And in that process, your desires change, your priorities change, your actions change. Mm. And then people look at you, and in the midst of something awful going on, and you have a peace, you're a person of peace in the midst of that, because Jesus has been at work within you, that says to someone, what is it about them? And that gives them that insight because they're seeing Jesus. Mm. So it's never about behavior modification. And as a new Christian, I wish someone would have told me that. Mm. Because when I started off, I was trying to be a good girl to fit in. And it didn't work. And then when it don't work, secretly you then pretend and then you live in shame and then you're hidden.
Mm.
And we should be hidden in Christ so that he can do the work that he needs to do.
And part of the understanding about holiness and the need for it is purity. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master. to do your will. We're near there. Our hour is nearly up. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. There's a lot of disruption in our world. There may be disruption in our families and our churches. So we need to seek peace. The peacemakers that sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. We need to be change makers in our world. We need to be transformers, not like the children's games, but we need to be people who are transformed and be used by God to bring transformation to others by the power of his Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Deeper still?
Deeper still. If you want flyers, you can take one. Yeah? Print out. And there's also, there's going to be a QR code. There's some more notes if you want to scan that. That's if you're like super spiritual. You can scan them. But I think we should just be closing together now. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Lovely. Thank you.
How cool is that? Look, that's Elin made us really official.
So awakening prayer, perhaps you had preconceived ideas of what it was to be. And I think there is a theme through this summit, and that God is leading us to purity, to holiness, to a deeper walk, to a closeness with Jesus, a sensitivity to him and what he's saying. And not just for its own sake, but so that we are refined and we become more like Jesus and we can be reflectors of Jesus in our world. Are you up for that?
Yeah. I think we come back to what we've said all the way through. To do all those things, we need to be thinking about intimacy with him.
Yeah.
And I love something that he's done in some of the healing. I'd say I'm still on a healing journey. I think we all are, aren't we? But he's done some really chunky bits of healing in my heart, and one of the things he's done is given me a childlike faith and a childlike response, and I'm just like, yeah, Jesus, what are we doing? Let's go. And so I think let's position ourselves as we finish, as we get ready to go and do whatever the next thing is. It might just be a nice coffee, something to eat. If it'd be me, it'd be chocolate. But anyway, just before we go to that place, let's position ourselves and say, yeah, God, ignite the childlike spirit within me.
Yes.
And I think we can finish on one more song, spontaneous song. I wasn't in church as a child, but I think a song they used to sing is Yes, Jesus Loves Me. Yes. Do we know that one?
Yeah.
Ready? Okay, let's sing that.
Yeah.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves me, and
Amen.
Roger. Bless you guys.
The Lord bless you.
Thank you for coming.